As all of you know, because we were gone for 2.5 weeks, the Lord gave us the privilege of going on a tour of roses together. Two other times besides this time, my wife has gone on tour of roses without me, so it's always nice to go with her. I know I miss all of you, and you miss us, but it's really nice to be together. But I wanted to say something before, as we get started with this. I think maybe you guys remember me saying that I didn't really want to go on this trip, or I really didn't feel like, well, it wasn't that I didn't want to go. I'm always ready to go somewhere. But it was like I didn't think the timing of this trip was something I could do and a time that I could go. And so that was my biggest problem with it. But the Lord kept telling me, no, you're going. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, this is a rough time. We're leaving in the middle of Passover, Pesach, and, you know, most of you know I'm pastoring First Baptist Church as well, so leaving at Easter. And, you know, this is a really rough time to try to go on a trip, on a mission trip on with Tour of Roses. But the Lord kept putting it on my heart to go. And do you have the thing? Okay, I'm going to go to the next slide. And even before I said yes to going on this trip, the Lord put this verse on my heart for the trip. And I figured it was just for the people who were going. But the verse from Isaiah 62:10 says, go through the gate. Prepare the way for the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. And when I first read it, because I wasn't expecting to go, I'm going, okay, that's a good verse for them, you know. And as the Lord began to work in my heart, and I found out I was going, and when we went over and over and over again, he brought us through the gates. And yes, they were many times physical gates, but they represented spiritual gates that he brought us through. And I'm very thankful that I did go. I don't know of a mission trip that I've ever been on, or a ministry trip that I've been on, and I've been on a lot of them, probably about 40, where every gate that the Lord told you to go through was open. Every gate. We had no closed gates. We had no closed doors. Everywhere that the Lord told us to go was wide open. One of the things that I see in that is his soon return, his soon coming. Because I believe the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, as I said, on this trip, this verse became more and more, the more we did, and we did a lot more than we expected to do because the Lord opened gates. And I say opened gates as opposed to open doors because of this verse that we weren't expecting and invited us through. And it's like I know you guys were praying, and we had many other people praying, and we could feel your prayers and know that, you know, the Lord was just opening these gates and keeping the enemy back. You know, it's like everything he tried didn't work. And I've seen teams before where there was success, but the enemy still got in and caused division and those types of things. We didn't see that at all on this trip. There was the attempt, but it didn't work. And when we got done, we all had that feeling to say, you know what? We did what God called us to do. We accomplished everything he called us to do and more. More than we expected. You know, we had our schedule, but God had his schedule, you know. And, you know, at times it was overwhelming seemingly, but it wasn't because of his spirit and his power. In fact, the days off that we had were the worst days. The days we were doing what he told us to do, we didn't really have any days off, but the days that, right. Yeah. So about 10 hours off in the whole time period of the 2.5 weeks. This was not a vacation. I've had people say, how was your vacation? Vacation? What vacation? What are you talking about? Now, we were busy, and you'll see in a few minutes as we get started. But I just wanted to share that up front that, how the Lord gives us these things through His Word. He gives us through His Holy Spirit and through His Word, He gives us a vision. And it's really neat when you see that happen, when you see Him do it. And that's only to, it's yes, to accomplish what He wants to accomplish in those places, but it's not to be forgotten when we look at paradise, when we look at what His vision for our congregation here. His vision, what He wants to do here is open gates and open doors as well, because He wants to pour His Spirit out. And why? Because He loves us and He desires a relationship with us. So I'm going to turn it over to Heather.
Hello. So usually when we go a tour of roses, the plane lands in whatever country we are going to, whether it be Germany or Poland, Ireland or Austria, and immediately we check in at the hotel, drop our suitcases, and get started preparing the roses. This trip was no different. We had 2,000 roses waiting for us when we hit Munich. How many of you helped to prepare roses last year when we did roses here in Paradise? A couple of you. The roses are bought from the flower market, so they're completely fresh. These ones were flown in and delivered to us at the YMCA in Munich, which the YMCA in Europe is completely different than it is here in America. It is actually still a Christian organization. And they had Bible studies, and the staff are all believers, and it was all Christ-focused at the YMCA. So they gave us this meeting room, and the roses have to be stripped from the thorns and the extra leaves. They have to be cleaned up. They have to have ribbons and cards tied onto them. And so we spent a lot of time preparing roses. You can see there's just buckets and buckets of roses. So we set up different workstations all throughout. There were nine of us on this team this year. Marlis, who was 76, Gail, who was 78, Hannah, who was 70, Jürgen, who's a couple years older than Samuel, Sam, me, Dusty, who was 25 but on crutches because she broke her foot, and Sally. And then we were met in country by Beata, who is from the Messianic congregation in Berlin. And she drove down to Munich and joined us. Jürgen met us there as well. He lives in Canada but was born in the town of Dachau, which some of you know is associated with the concentration camp. So this is Marlis. So I don't want you to think you're too old for a mission trip. Everyone was, we. Most of the first week, we got about 4 or 5 hours of sleep every night, including those who are older. And so we were totally sustained just by God's strength and people praying for us. And as you can see, Marlis is attaching cards to the roses. Each card has, in German on it, it says, red for the blood of the people who died, red for the blood of the Savior who died for all people, and red for His love, which makes love between us possible and removes all fear. Here's more preparing of the roses. This is Sally, for those of you who don't know. This is Sally's vision, Tour of Roses is. And the first concerts she held were in Dachau in 2009. I think there's been six Tour of Roses. Not counting Paradise, just six Tour of Roses. So you can see there's just so many roses. When we did roses here in Paradise, we had 500 at a time, and so just tons and tons of roses. When we got there, we had three seders that we participated in. Who went to the Seder here in Paradise? Three seders. one right after the other. Well, you could, when people who are not Jewish throw a Seder, it doesn't necessarily follow a Seder thing. And so it was their Seder. They called it a Seder. So stop being rude. Okay, so Beit Tzar Shalom is a small Messianic congregation in Munich. It was a larger congregation, but they've lost most of their support from different organizations. And so now it's down to 5 people. So Klaus and Tanya, Klaus is the pastor there. I know you're going to want to talk about that. And Tanya's his wife. And so this is their Seder. And so this was Tuesday. We arrived Tuesday morning and went to the Seder that night. So we have just gotten off plane, spent the entire day cleaning roses, and are now at a Seder. So there's no room for sleeping and when you go on tour of roses. There's no room for sleeping. this is Tanya. The church that hosted this Seder for the Messianic congregation was a Baptist church. And so there's probably about 100 people here at this Seder.
Okay, so Klaus and Tanya are leading this. It's a small Messianic group, but they have a real heart to do whatever the Lord has called them to. And so, you know, I was very tired when we first, kind of like this morning, anyways, I was very tired when we first went to the Seder because all of us were tired because we'd just gotten off the plane and cleaned roses all day. But it was really nice to have a meal, you know, already prepared, and it was beautiful, absolutely wonderful. Klaus was a Catholic priest who is Jewish. His background is Jewish, and he had found that out, that he was Jewish, and God led him through a process of really getting into his word to come to the Lord and have a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord. And he had obviously stopped being a Catholic priest and married Tanya. And they had become involved in the Messianic Jewish congregation in Munich, which I didn't even know there was one until we got there. But it was started by Chosen People Ministries some time back. And then the one who was leading the congregation had left. And for, I don't know the reasons. So Klaus and Tanya had been leading this group for a while. But he was very unsure about his ability to lead a Messianic congregation. So one of the things that I was able to encourage him in and pray for him in was to be able to trust the Lord, that the Lord would give him everything he needed to lead this congregation, because he has the right heart. He's a very humble man, but very knowledgeable. And, you know, I could tell right just during the Seder that how he handled things and stuff that, yeah, the far left is Klaus. The one in the middle, his name is actually Sam, and he's the pastor of the Baptist Church in Munich that hosted this Seder. So this was kind of funny because when I told him that my name was Sam and I pastor a Messianic Jewish congregation and a Baptist church, it kind of pulled everything together in a really weird way. So when I heard his name was Sam, I just started laughing, and I don't think he knew why I was laughing. But anyway, so it was really neat to come there and see. I mean, the room was packed. You just felt an atmosphere like, you know, yes, this is where we belonged. It was a great way to start the Tour of Roses. It was really awesome. So.
What was really great about this week for most of the Christians in Munich is there were 3 Passover Seders for them to attend that whole week. And that hasn't happened before. Most of the Seder dinners are held in the synagogues, not Messianic, and they are closed to the public because of the threat in Europe. There were bomb threats while we were there towards the synagogue in Munich. So they keep it closed and within the community. And so the believers were just so excited that they had so many opportunities to come and be a part of a Seder.
One of the things, as I shared earlier from Isaiah 62:10 about the gates that God had put on my heart before we went, was going to the gates, actually the physical gates. This gate here, Sindlinger Tor, Tor is the German word for gate, has been in that area since the 1300s. It's not the same gate, obviously. They've built over it and rebuilt it several times and stuff. But there's been a gate in that area since the 1300s, since the middle, you know, the Middle Ages. And we went to this gate and began to unloaded probably about, I don't know, about 700, 800 roses and got ready to give the roses out. And what we do is we basically we stand there with an armful of roses, and as people walk by, we hand them a rose. And usually they ask, "It's free?" And we go, "Yes, it's free." And we said, it's because of God's love, or, you know, it depends on how much we get to talk to that person. If they really start asking questions, then we explain that we are Jews and Americans, and some are German, who are here to say, because of Jesus, that we love you. And then they, you know, usually when they hear that you're Jews that are saying that you love them, most people are like, "Wow, that's really neat that you're here," you know. And we explain that we're here just to do this. We're here just to pass out these roses. So that's usually what we do. Well, we got ready to pass out the roses, and Sally goes, "Oh, we're going to have a problem," because on this side of the gate, there was a lady who had set up a flower vending booth. And you could tell she was already staring at us from across the square, like, "What are you guys doing here with roses? Can you, you know?" And so we went over to talk to her, and we took one of our flyers, and we tried to explain to her that we're giving out free roses. We don't want to be a nuisance to you or take away from your business. And she's like, "I don't care. No, no." She's like, "You have to leave." You know, and she's saying this to Jürgen, who's translating to me, you know, but I can tell she's not happy about this at all. And she's like, "You have to leave." And so Jürgen's like, "Well, you know," she's like, "I can call the police, you know." And so I asked her, I said, "Well, how far away do we have to go that'll be okay?" And she pointed way down to the end of the thing by the road. She's like, "If you go down there, that'll be fine, you know." So I went back and told Sally, I said, "Well, I think we have to move." And so we packed up all our roses, and we moved way down by there was a street on this side at the end. And actually, that ended up to be a much better spot, because people were getting off the bus right there. They were coming out of the subway. I mean, we had people going back and forth the whole time. So Sally set up her keyboard and started to worship the Lord. And we had a tremendous time. We had a tremendous time talking to people. I think Sindlinger Tor, at least for me, was one of the best places, because you actually got to talk. I actually got to talk to quite a few people. I talked to one guy who was from Dubai, a Muslim from Dubai. And he was very pleased that we were actually out just giving out roses and telling people that we love them. Even though he was a Muslim from Dubai, he liked what we were saying. He liked what we were doing. And he's like, and I explained that we were Jews who believed in Jesus. And he's like, "Wow, that's really interesting." So very open. And then I talked to another guy who was very well color coordinated. He had green glasses, really cool green glasses, and, you know, green all over, kind of outlining his clothes and stuff. So we had a nice long talk, and he was, you know, from Munich, and was just really touched that as Jews that we were there telling them that because of Jesus, because of what he's done in our life, that we love them. And I got to share with him a little bit of the gospel and pray with him for his family. Wasn't quite open to making a decision for the Lord yet, but he heard the gospel. And then we talked to another man named Dieter, and this is just three. There were many more. Dieter actually said that when he went home, he was going to pray to receive the Lord. He wasn't ready to pray out on the streets, but he heard everything we said, and he was very touched. And Sally got to talk to him for a while, too. Well, when we got all done and we'd given out all the roses, I felt from the Lord to go back to the lady, the flower lady. And she saw me coming and immediately got a frown on her face, you know, "What are you coming back here for?" You know. And so I came over and I said, and she actually knew enough English to talk back and forth. So I said, I would like to buy some flowers for mein Frau, for my wife, but not roses. And she started laughing, you know. So at that point, you know, it's like, okay, I got her laughing, you know. And then we started talking, and I explained why we were there as well as I could, you know, and what we were doing. And she helped me pick out some nice flowers to bring to Heather. Heather was back at the YMCA preparing the Seder meal that we were hosting that night. And so as I walked away after talking to the lady, and I was able to give her some one of our concert flyers, and she was totally, totally open now, as opposed to before where she was very resistant, you know. But because we had done what she said, what she asked, respecting her and going and moving away from where her business was, it totally changed her heart. And as I walked away, I heard the Lord say, "You've just been invited through the gate." Or better, he was just invited through the gate. And see, that's the way our Lord is. He doesn't force the gates. He needs to be invited. But when he's invited, he shows up. And he shows up in power, and he shows up in glory. And so that's one of the things that you know, go through the gates. We need to go through the gates, not, you know, storming the gates. Remember, it's the gates of hell that try to storm us, right? But they won't prevail. When we go through the gates, you know, in Munich, we went through with flowers. We went through holding up a standard of God's love. That's what Tour of Roses is all about, is holding up that standard of God's love. And so that was just a really neat experience that I had there.
One of the really cool things is because we're standing there and we're handing out roses and we're just handing out these gifts, we get to talk to people. In Germany, it is actually illegal to evangelize on the streets, especially for a German to share with a Jew, because it is considered a hate crime, which is one of the things that's fallout from the Holocaust. So because we were there and we weren't German, crazy Americans handing out roses, we got to do pretty much whatever we wanted. So that was really great. So this is our Seder. This is Bruno in the front. His wife Karen is in the back. Bruno and Karen, every year they have said, "Wouldn't it be lovely to go to Israel and have a Passover dinner?" And one of the things that Karen said while they came in and were helping, volunteering to work in this tiny little kitchen with me. I was going to have to do the entire meal by myself in this little kitchen, and they just showed up to help. And one of the things they said is, how good of God to give us a Passover Seder here in Munich, to give us something that we didn't even know to pray for. And so that was really lovely. And this other woman who's standing here, she was at Sally's Dachau concert in 2009. She became a believer 3 years ago and was now at our Passover Seder. There were four people at this dinner that night that had all been at the Dachau concert in 2009. And so it was really cool to see all the fruit and getting to see, you know, you're handing a rose to somebody, you're doing a concert, what difference is it having? And so we got to hear the stories of the impact and the fruit. And so it was really amazing. Just the whole time we were there, over and over again, we got to hear stories of how it was impactful. I don't touch raw meat at our house. Sam cleans the chickens and the turkeys, and then I cook them. So this was a sacrifice of love. I had six cases of chicken to go through. And if I lived in Europe, I would be a vegetarian because they don't clean them like we do here. So I had all kinds of tools and stuff for doing this. Oh, one of the really cool thing is, so there's no giant grocery store. Right? We're in Munich, right? There's no grocery stores. There's a market here and a little market there and a little market here. And you can get this here and you can get that there, but you can't get anything in one spot. Beit Zahar Shalom in Berlin got us all of our matzah. So they sent it down with Beata when she came and joined us. We didn't have to find matzah. But where we were at is all Muslims. And we have to prepare a Passover dinner. And so a Muslim butcher who had gyros and stuff over on this side gave us all the lamb shank bones for free. All of them. Enough for 120 people on all the tables. I think it was like 20 bones or something he gave us free. Know how much we paid for our bones here? $8 a piece, sometimes $15 a piece for one bone. So he was just like, you want lamb bones? Sure, here you go. Another little Turkish market. We had really no transportation for doing this except for Beata's little car. And where we were at, there wasn't a lot of parking. I mean, you're talking old European streets. So we would walk to one market, buy what we could carry, walk back. Walk to a market, buy what we could carry. And so by 11 o'clock this morning, I had already gone on 3 shopping trips. And we had 6 cases of chicken that we had to get into a car and drive back and all these things because we could not lift these cases of chicken. And the Turkish butcher on the other side of town who had the chicken, he gave them to us so cheap because we were buying them in bulk. And because we kept going back and forth to that market, the cashier, you know, she keeps ringing us up, this woman. And she's like, what is all this food for? She asked Beata in German. And Beata says, oh, we're having a Jewish dinner tonight. And the woman's face, you literally see her face change. And so after we left, Beata was so upset. She's like, I didn't expect her to react like that. I didn't expect, she was so open and friendly before. And I didn't expect that. And so we had gone back and dropped off the last load of the groceries we needed for that night. And Sally, we told her the story of what happened and how it affected Beata. And she's like, oh, let's take her roses. We need to go buy stuff for lunch anyway. So we walked back to the market again and brought her roses and thanked her for all the help that they've been. And her face just lit up. And so we did that as we entered the store, went and got the things we needed for lunch, and went to check back out. Now, because we were in a Muslim market, and it's Passover, and we could buy stuff we needed for matzah pizza, including beef pepperoni and things like that. Everything was kosher in this store because they don't eat pork either. So that turned out to be a blessing on our half. And when we went to check out again, she was just like, thank you so much. You've made my day. And so, you know, some of these people have never met anyone who's Jewish. They only have what they've been told by Islam about what Jewish people are like. And so it was really fun to do that. And you can see in the corner, those are the flowers that Samuel brought me from the flower lady. So this is our Passover dinner, preparing it.
Yeah, that was a preparing of the Passover dinner. And there was a little funny thing going on between Sally. Stop it. Stop it, Don. Oh, that's fine. There was kind of a funny thing between Sally and Dusty because Sally didn't think there was any reason for us to save the rose petals this time. And in Poland, we had saved the rose petals. Magda in Poland had saved the rose petals, and later on they were used.
The outside of each rose has these extra petals on it, and so you petal them and you take those off, and we usually just throw them away. And so we were saving them.
Magda had saved bags of rose petals, and in Poland they had turned out really neat because we could spread them all over the floor in this dark, dank, underground bar that Sally did a concert in. But this time Sally was like, oh, we don't need to save the rose petals. There's no need for it. Dusty's like, no, we're saving the rose petals. So she was sneaking rose petals, and I was helping her. We were saving rose petals under the table where Sally couldn't see them, you know, and we saved these rose petals. So when we got ready to prepare the Seder meal, we had the idea to put the rose petals down the middle of the table. And it was Sally who was like, that's a great idea. So she goes in there and grabs the rose petals and she starts spreading them and she's having such a wonderful time. And I'm like, Sally, you didn't want to save the rose petals. She's like, oh, be quiet. You know, she's spreading the rose petals. So it was neat that we saved them. But what I wanted to also say about the Seder is that a lot of the, first of all, it was completely packed out. Like I said, about 130 German, mostly German believers, Christians. And you can go forward. And Sally was able to sing, and this is me praying or something. But anyways, not at this one, though. I stayed awake for this one. One of the things that the Lord really impressed upon my heart to tell the German believers is that not only do we as Jews forgive them, and not only does God forgive them, but we're not holding this against them. We're not holding the Holocaust against them anymore. Because as we started to talk, and we had people during the mealtime, we had people come up to us and say, "We're so sorry. We're so sorry. We're so sorry for what for what our families have done, for what Germany did to you, for, you know." And I was telling them, I'm like, "You know what? We understand and we know." One of the things I was able to say is we've heard many, many times from the German believers how sorry they are and their desire for forgiveness. And so we forgive you, and not only do we forgive you as Jews who believe in Jesus, we're not holding this against you anymore. We're one in Messiah. And I did use the term intentionally, we forget. We don't forget that the Holocaust happened, but we forget in that word, just as the Lord has forgotten our sins. It says he removes it as far as the east is from the west, so that it's no longer anything to divide us, because we're one in the Lord. And we could just see them just weep over that. And the other thing I was able to tell them is, you know, start walking, start allowing the good things of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, the things he wants to bless you with. Don't be under this burden of shame anymore. Give that to the Lord. That they don't need to be carrying the shame from past generations. They need to leave that with the Lord and begin to walk in that freedom and in that joy that the Lord has for them. And it was like, almost there was like this idea in the room, like, we can do that? You know, it's like they didn't understand that they could actually do that, that they could walk in this kind of freedom. And so what we heard from the two that you talked about earlier, Bruno and Karen.
At the beginning of the dinner, because, you know, I have to do all the stuff in the kitchen, have to come up two flights of stairs, then be the hostess, and then go back down the stairs, you know, kind of like what we do here at Hare Yeshua. I'm in and out of the kitchen the whole time. At the beginning of the dinner, light the candles, and, you know, just to welcome everyone, I had told them that we're not very good at doing banquets, and this is being translated, and everyone's faces are like, "Oh no, what's going to happen? They're not good at banquets." And so I said, "But we are very good at family dinners." And I hope all of you feel that when we get together for our Passover Seder dinners, that it's a family celebration. And so that, you know, my family is from Bavaria, and you know, so this is our family dinner. And so it was really great that everyone could just, you know, it's informal. You don't have to be really serious. You know, we're going to celebrate, and we're going to be one with each other. And throughout the room, all stationed around the room, were different foot washing places. Instead of going around and washing everyone's hands, we set up foot washing stations. Some were manned by people from the team, and some were left empty. And if somebody wanted to come and get prayed for, somebody on the team would pray and wash their feet and pray over them. And then we had ones that were empty, so that if you had something that you were holding against someone else in the room and wanted to make it right, you could. And you should have seen, there was these two guys. I think they went to every single unmanned station and kept washing each other's feet. And this went on for, what, about 45 minutes, the foot washing? Because we weren't sure if anyone was actually going to use it. We are in Germany. They're a little more stoic. You know, are they going to come out of their seats? You never know what's going to happen. And so it went on for about 45 minutes. And Beata was washing a woman's feet on the side of the room, and she was taking off hand-knit socks. So, of course, I had to talk to her later in the evening. But it was really great throughout the whole time. And we got an email when we came back from Bruno and Karen, who said everyone they talked to that night said how wonderful everything was and how they felt like they had had a family dinner and felt like family. And so that was really great, because that was what we wanted to help create.
Other believers about what they had heard and what they had experienced in that whole area. So they were spreading it back to their churches and to other believers, what they went through or what they saw.
And what is really great is you had so many different, I mean, all of these people that were there that night, almost all of them were Christians from different non-denominational churches. You know, they weren't just traditional Christians like we think of, you know, people who just go to church. They weren't just Catholics. I mean, it was all throughout this room were so many different believers. And they all were still carrying the shame of the past on them. God can't use Germany. We killed the Jews. God can't have a revival here. We killed the Jews. And so it was really great to see this whole evening. It was so healing. It was really wonderful. So that was the Seder that we hosted. So I sent up all the food. I spent all day cooking all the food, and I sent up all the food. We had an elevator that we were sending food up and down because the kitchen was down below all of this. And all of a sudden, the food's all upstairs, and I realized I didn't taste any of it. I am using ingredients and changed all the recipes I had because I couldn't find things. And then I just was like, oh, no, I didn't taste anything. So I started praying, God, please don't let the food poison anyone. Please make sure everything's all the way cooked. Please make sure everything's good, please. And so it was, we got one of the best compliments was, it was really good. It didn't taste like American chicken. I'm not sure what that means, but.
I don't know if Heather was up there at this time, but when the food was mentioned, there was a standing ovation. I mean, people got up and just clapped. They just thought it was absolutely wonderful. And I think, who was it that had prayed that there would be, the love would be felt through the food even? Was that, yeah. And that's really what people said. I mean, somebody even said that we really felt the love even through the cooking and through the food. And so that was cool.
We got these, like, crazy beans from Morocco that we cooked. And they were, like, these really crazy, weird green bean kind of flat, like, kind of like giant sugar snap peas. But they were, like, this big. And all the vegetables went first. And that's how I knew I wasn't in America. It's because there was rice, there was chicken, there was soup, but there were no vegetables. The vegetables were gone. Then we went to, at our Seder, there was a woman there. Her name is Pastor Yuta, and she pastors at the Paul Gerhardt Church. And that night at our Seder, she invited us to come and do some things at their Passover Seder, Monday, Thursday celebration that they were having. Because Sally was supposed to go and sing and do a couple songs, and then it became a little more involved than we expected.
Here's the thing. Right after our Seder, Sally and Jürgen and myself stayed up till like 2 or 3 at night, washing dishes, cleaning up. Heather was so tired, she went to bed.
I went to bed at 11:30 because I had been doing that all day. To get plastic silverware where we were, because this whole country recycles everything. To get plastic silverware was over $100. And we're talking beach shack silverware. So we couldn't find bowls. We couldn't find paper plates. We had to use real dishes. And in this tiny kitchen, and wash the dishes by hand. Bruno and Karen, who stayed in and were there helping and everything, they were supposed to go the next morning and feed the homeless and get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And they were there so late helping wash the dishes as well.
Yeah, they stayed till like close to 12 or maybe even later, and they had helped all day. And but then, like I said, Sally, Jürgen, and myself, we stayed up till like 2, almost 3 o'clock in the morning finishing up with the dishes in the kitchen. Because the whole YMCA was closing down the next day, and they were leaving. They were going off to a retreat. And so we had to get all that stuff done and clean and everything. And then the next morning, because they were leaving, our team had to move from the YMCA to a Euro hotel that was several blocks away. And so the next morning, and have new roses delivered on top of that. So the next morning, I was moving like about 1,500 roses from downstairs all the way upstairs. No way to do it easily. And then out to the taxi cab. after being up as late as we were. So then after all of this, that night we go to this Monday, Thursday Seder. We go there and we're all so tired, and I'm sitting there and they start their thing, and it was very beautiful. It was beautiful. They had great music. Part of the time Heather had to tap me or poke me to keep me awake because I'd start to fall asleep, you know. And then I wasn't snoring there. Anyways, as we said, it was really beautiful, and they did a very good job.
So up in the top corner there, that's Pastor Yuta, and they had all these great different musical moments throughout the whole thing, like an old Negro spiritual, you know, Go Down Moses, and all this stuff, and so all these great little moments. But it's all in German. None of it's really being interpreted. We have no idea what we're doing. So she wants Sam to do blessings over bread and wine. And so he keeps standing up and blessing things. And then all of a sudden, I was supposed to light the candles. And, I mean, we had really no idea what we were doing. And so we're, like, trying to stay awake. But at the beginning of this evening, one woman who goes to church with Sally down in North Hollywood, her husband just got a job in Germany. So she showed up that night and was there, and she was just praying for us the whole service. Exactly. We were so not awake.
But, you know, Seder means order. Well, their order and what we're used to was not at all the same. And that was part of the issue, is we're like, okay, because I can follow a Passover Seder. I know where we are usually, even if it's in German or whatever language, I can usually follow it. But this was completely, it was like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of there, here and there. Okay, get up and bless something. So I would get up and I would do the blessing, and she was happy with it, you know. But then we got to the part where we did communion, and Sally got to sing. So as you see here, Sally did a few songs. She did a tremendous job. It had to be the Holy Spirit.
Before you go to that. In all of the presentations that Sally does, she mentions the Holocaust, and she kind of mentions other genocides in the world and things like that. At this evening, she mentioned the Turkish-Armenian genocide, the Rwanda genocide, and the Serbian-Croatian genocide, and she named them specifically, which isn't something that normally happens. And it just so happened that these two men were at the Seder, and they were refugees from Rwanda. And they were so blessed that she remembered and included Rwanda. And so it was the whole evening was amazing. And so even though we're like completely exhausted and we're doing way more than we expected to, and little things, just people would say, oh, come speak here, or come to my Bible study, or come to this. And we were just like, how can we do one more thing? God knew exactly what needed to be said every place we went. And so it was just really great. Crazy story.
You know, part of these whole trips is you got to have fun and a sense of humor when, you know. And not only do we have a sense of humor, but the Lord has a sense of humor too. But anyway, so we got to the point and we had blessed the elements and we were getting ready to have the Lord's Supper. And I'm very, very, very tired, like I said. So I'm sitting here watching Yuta and she's doing the blessings and stuff. And all of a sudden this music starts up. And it was kind of weird music to begin with, but this music starts up, and she picks up the elements, and she begins to dance with them, and she's like singing. I know I'm really tired. Have we just moved into a musical? Because it was just so strange. It was so different. I mean, and Beata, I guess, was having a hard time not laughing, and she's from Germany. And later on when I said, what was that? She's like, I don't know. She was like, I was going to laugh, but I thought you guys thought it was all normal. I'm like, no, that was not normal. So it was just kind of funny how, you know, in the middle of all of that, like I said, I'm like, okay, now we're in a musical.
Well, there was a lot of fun things about this dinner. Everything was, you know, like when you go to a really fancy restaurant and you get your plate and there's like a sliver of a vegetable. And that's your vegetable. And, you know, there's like little tiny things all over your plate. Well, this was set up. It had little tiny, you know, those little tiny muffin papers, more like the size of a Reese's peanut butter cup, the little ones. That was filled with Sephardic haroset instead of the apples and walnuts that we have. It's like figs and dates and that kind of thing. And then there was like a little sprig of parsley on your plate and a tiny square of matzah and, you know, all these little things. And then the dinner came out and it was like lamb and it was like this couscousy thing with a broth poured over it that was supposed to be like your matzo ball soup. And we didn't tell them that you can't have couscous during Passover because it's pasta. You know, we were just like, okay, we're totally under grace. And so we were really pretty bad at keeping Passover the whole time we were in Jerusalem. I know, the whole time we were there, it was just like we had matzah, and so we had matzah pizza and different things, but it was just like, okay, we're eating couscous, and okay, we're going to eat these crazy, weird sausages of unknown meats, and, you know, because God gives us grace, but God gives us grace to go and be with the people and to, you know, just, I know. So the whole time we were there, we just had this wonderful time and grace. We would go to the Marienplatz. This is an overhead picture of the Marienplatz. This is not a church. This is the city hall. The picture on your right, left, I know my right, your left. I don't know if you can see the swastika flag draped down what's the name of the building? The Rathaus. And then this is the picture that I took. We went to the Marienplatz twice while we were there. This is where Kristallnacht, the orders for Kristallnacht were ratified. This is where so many of the orders were ratified to be carried out throughout Europe for the Holocaust. And we wound up being there on Easter Sunday, which was the second time, actually, that we went to the Marienplatz. And they were having a service in the town square about how to be more like Jesus. And so just the change and how much has changed.
Yeah, the service that they were having, it's actually the first time we went, the first day we went there. Yeah, it wasn't on Easter Sunday, but they were, yeah, Good Friday. They were having this Catholic service, but it was on how to be more like Jesus. And when they got done, there was like all these people. And the roses, we had probably like 1,500 roses, or I think we had, yeah, I think it was 1,800 roses because it was like about 100 roses per thing, and we had 18 of those little rose carrier things that we were pulling out of the taxi and stuff, multiple taxis. And as we were pulling them out, people were already accepting them, and I think half the people that were walking away from this thought it was a Catholic thing, but, you know, they were like, oh, this is great, you know. But when I got the information on what they were talking about, it's very biblical. It's exactly, you know, it's basically how to be like Jesus and that we need to be like Jesus and, you know, about dying to self and being made, you know. And so it was really cool.
So we have 4,000 roses for Munich, and it's a holiday. Now, in America, when there's a holiday, what does everyone do? Go out and go shopping, right? No, every store was closed. Everything shut down. Nothing was open from Thursday through Easter Monday. Okay, so we're like, we have all these roses, and no one's in the streets. Everyone is gone. What are we going to do? So we went to the Marienplatz, and we were kind of worried. Okay, we've got all these roses. What are we going to do? And so it really was amazing because, I mean, the minute we're taking them out of the cabs, people on the team are turning around and talking because people are wondering what's going on. Is this a Catholic thing? Is this a Jewish thing? Oh, it's something for all people? This is wonderful. And besides the people of Munich, there were also all these tourists. And because it was a slow day, nobody had to go to work, no one had any schedules, we had so many opportunities to just sit and talk with people. I had a woman come over with our friend Dagmar, who's from Nuremberg. She came over and Dagmar was translating for me, and she was like, let me tell you a story about my family. There were these Jews, and they hid them in the basement and would feed them bread through the grate, and they were family of doctors, and they hid them. And on Kristallnacht, the people found them and drove them out through the streets, and would beat them as they went through the streets. And we still know some of them to this day. Some of them did not survive the war, but another went to Canada and became a doctor. And so she got to tell us this whole story. And the cool thing is every time we go to one of these countries, somebody tells us about the Jews their family hid, or somebody tells us about something. And they don't get to share those stories, specifically in Poland. They don't share those stories with their neighbors because when people found out that you hid Jews, they tried to murder you as well. And so we got to sit there and we got to talk to all these people and hear their stories. And then we went to Dachau on Saturday. The lady in the green jacket's my friend Dagmar, and Dusty is Sally's daughter, and Sam's pushing her in the wheelchair. These are different barracks. These flat foundations are different barracks of where they would do medical experiments on the people and the prisoners. This stained glass here with the rose in it and the rose over here, we did not set this up. This is in the Church of Reconciliation, which is on the grounds of Dachau. And the Bible, one of the chapters that kept coming up over and over again was Isaiah 60 and 61 while we were gone. And the Bible in German here on this podium just happened to be turned to Isaiah 60. And we got to do worship here. Where Samuel is facing is an execution place where they would just come and shoot everyone. And there's a gutter dug. That was for the runoff of all the blood. And so this is where we sat and worshiped.
They stopped us from worshiping. One of the guys, the ladies from, after about a half an hour, came over and said, well, you guys are not allowed to do this here. And I guess she'd gotten a complaint or something. And then she walked away, and then a little bit later on, I think, came back to check on us. And so I went over and talked to her, and I explained what we were doing, why we were there, and who we were and stuff. She's like, that's really neat. That's really different. And so she totally opened up. You know, we didn't, you know, go against her wishes and continue doing that, but we did finish praying in that area, and that was really neat. The birds were.
Every time she would say, sing to the Lord or shout to the Lord, birds would erupt and just sing all around us. It was so amazing because some of the places that we've gone to, like Sobibor, I didn't hear a sound. Auschwitz, I didn't hear a bird. And so we're here at Dachau, and they're just singing. There's all these school groups and everything that were walking around Dachau as well. This girl, Jordan, she joined in on our worship. And Dusty prayed with her, and she was a believer. And I got to talk with some of the teachers that were there with students, and they said their kids were all got off the bus, all excited, all, you know, energized, and all walked out like zombies, just heavy with what they saw in Dachau. And that is, you know, that's pretty much the experience when you go to a concentration camp. You go there, you see all the atrocities, you see all the death, and it's totally affects every part of you, and so we were there worshiping. Near where we were worshiping, here's the gas ovens. Oh, Dusty was very obsessed with the Holocaust throughout her childhood. Read books, movies up until the time she was 15, and it just got too much, and she couldn't do it. So this was the first time Dusty had gone to a concentration camp. And, you know, we are believers, but we still are constantly battling fear when we're on these trips. Okay, God, we're walking into a town that murdered every Jew. Please don't let them kill us, you know, kind of things. I mean, it's still there, no matter, you know, it's still in the background. And so for Dusty, it was, I'm going to go there. I'm going to feel all this. I'm going to be overwhelmed with the sorrow of the Holocaust. And she was just waiting to get out of the car and for it to hit her, the oppression. And she got out of the car and she
felt from the Lord to go place her hand on one of the areas that we were talking about earlier, the foundational areas where there used to be a dorm, and that actually happened to be the place where they did the medical experiments and stuff like that. And so she went over and did that, expecting that she was going to have this overwhelming grief and really, you know. But what she experienced instead was the presence of the Lord in just an incredible way, more than she usually experiences. And it was overwhelming, feeling the presence of the Lord there. And so she gets up and she's like, oh. She's like, the Lord told me I don't have to grieve because of his life, because of, you know. And this is a, you know, 25-year-old girl that, you know, has not had a lot of experiences like that with the Lord. And the Lord just decided, I'm going to, instead of giving her what she expects, she's going to experience my presence in this place of death. This Jewish girl is going to experience my life, you know, and that's what Yeshua does for us. He is our life, you know. So that was just really cool. We're going to go through real quick, but stop with the town of Dachau. Okay, wait.
This is the synagogue in Munich. What, unlike most places in Munich or in Europe, where the synagogues are burned and destroyed, an open field is left, and there's a little plaque that says, here's where the synagogue used to be, blah, blah, blah. This synagogue was completed just a few years ago on the actual location of where the old synagogue was. And so Dagmar and I, we went in on Easter, and I had to, like, yes, I'm from the Jewish community. Yes, I know the Shema. Yes, I can tell it to you in Hebrew. And, you know, do all these proofs to go into the building because they had bomb threats. And you have to go in one building, go through an underground tunnel, come up, and go into the synagogue. So this is the synagogue here in Munich. And this is Dagmar and I. We are at the, there's a restaurant next to it, the kosher restaurant. And so we had this amazing Passover kosher meal. So it was like the one real meal throughout all of Passover where I kept kosher. Yeah, it was Easter Sunday. So these are the outside doors of the synagogue. And even though the doors are right there, you had to go in the other building and use that underground tunnel to come up. Mauthausen was really cool, too. You're going to stop? Really?
There's just way too much. Save it for next week. There's just way too much to share. It's after 12 already, so that's halfway through the trip. And, you know, even more happened in the first part than we can share, obviously, but it was just such a blessing. And then next week, we will share the rest of the trip, which was mostly in Austria and Mauthausen and Salzburg. So.
Sally will be sharing throughout Southern California this week and next week, so pray for her and Dusty as they prepare and share. And all of the stuff for September's trip is already in the works, so keep the next Tour of Roses trip in prayer. That one will be in Poland, and the synagogues in Poland are suddenly being opened to Tour of Roses. And during the High Holy Days, during the 10 days of awe, Shabbat that falls between that is Shabbat Shuva, the Sabbath of Repentance. That evening at a synagogue in Poland is a concert for Tour of Roses. We thought this was amazing. I have no idea what's even going to happen in September. I don't know what God's plans are with Tour of Roses, but things are just opening up, and it's really pretty amazing. So please continue to pray for this work.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for letting us share. Let's go ahead and do the blessings. Let's close with prayer, and then we'll do the blessings. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful to you. You are worthy of all praise and all glory. Lord, we give you all the glory for everything that you did, Lord, on this Tour of Roses to Munich. Lord, I pray that you will continue to do that work in all of our lives, Lord, your work. Lord, help us to listen to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Because, Lord, it's neat to hear these things happening when we go other places. But, Lord, your desire is for paradise as well to not only for people to come to know you, but for us as believers to begin to walk in your Spirit. And Lord, you want to pour your Spirit out on this town and on this county and in this region, Lord. And so, Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do here as well, as we trust you and as we look to you, as we seek your face. And Lord, we thank you for what you did on the Stir of Roses and what you did here in Paradise as well while we were gone. We thank you for the Seder that happened here as well. And Lord, we thank you that wherever we are, that we are, Lord, as believers, that we are connected by your Holy Spirit, even if we are apart from each other, Lord. And I thank you for Horatio. I thank you for each person here and the support and love that we feel from each person here. So, Lord, we ask that you will be honored and glorified in our lives today. And we pray all this in Yeshua's name. Amen.